Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. A local TEDx event is coming to Tulsa Community College's Center for Creativity tomorrow. TED Talks bring together innovators and creators in technology, entertainment, and design, hence the acronym TED, as well as scientific, cultural, and academic topics. If you're not familiar with them, speakers are given up to 18 minutes to present their topic in the most engaging and innovative way they can. For the TEDx Tulsa CC, topics will include unlocking the voice of incarcerated women, the science beneath the sketch, ending racially biased policing, building the world's first learning health system, and much, much more. My guest today is Anina Collier, the Dean and Chair of TCC Center for Creativity and the person putting on TEDx Tulsa CC, along with Glenna Cooper, a Department Chair for American Sign Language Education, English as a Second Language, and World Language at Tulsa Community College. Cooper, who is deaf and has two interpreters with her today, will give a TEDx talk on our journey to protect and interpret deaf culture. TEDx Tulsa CC takes place Saturday at 5 o'clock. Now, the event is sold out at the Center for Creativity, but there will be an additional watch party at the Fly Loft on North Boston, and you can also stream the event live from anywhere at TEDxTulsaCC.com. Anina and Glenna, welcome to Studio Tulsa.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
TEDx is coming to Tulsa Community College. You have a theme called Subliminal. What goes into the preparation of a TEDx event?
Well, what I've learned is there's a lot to the preparation. We started talking about what a TED event might look like 2 years ago. The Center for Creativity convened leaders from the Tulsa community as well as the college, and we started brainstorming potential speakers and topics and trying to kind of get a group consensus on what might be the most effective use of this platform if we were able to receive it. So we held an open call for the speakers because with TED, the international nonprofit is ideas we're spreading. And for the local TEDx events, they really want to hear from people in the community that don't have a platform as much. So we held this open call for speakers to kind of see who would come out of the woodwork with a great idea. And so we were able to identify a few of our speakers that way. And then we also approached some speakers, and Glenna was one of those, to see if they were interested in presenting on a specific topic. And then about a year out, we applied for the license through TED and received that. And then it was just all guns blazing since then.
Right. How much input does the TED people do in presenting a TEDx event?
Very little.
Really?
Yes. Uh-huh. You apply for the license. They review all of your application materials, and it's pretty detailed. But then after that, they send you kind of a big owner's manual to putting on a TEDx event. And one thing is, a lot of people think when you get that license, you get things like the big red TED letters and the big round red carpet that you see in all the videos, but you don't. It's just up to the organizers to figure that out. I was really glad that we'd pulled the community in from the beginning because we were able to join with other organizations to partner to help make that happen. So, for example, the big red TED letters, Fab Lab created those for us. And I found myself wondering, what do TEDx organizers do if they don't have a Fab Lab in their community?
So how did the theme come about of Subliminal?
Okay, well, as we developed our speaker panel and we kind of looked at their topics, and in a true TED style, they're very diverse. So we have everything from ending racially biased policing to the science of cartoons to supercomputing. But what we noticed that many of the talks were talking about ways subliminal influences on our thoughts, our communications, our actions, how the world works. So it's kind of a tricky thing with TED because they want your topics to be diverse, but then they also like to see a theme. But the subliminal theme has really been a lot of fun because we were able to design visual elements and an art show, and we even commissioned a choral music work all based on that theme. And it was general enough that it gave people a lot of creative leeway, but it's also intriguing.
Yeah. Glenna, you, deaf culture is a culture that is seen many times, but not seen.
Exactly. And I'm really excited to be here. Thank you for letting me be part of this. Now, sharing with the community, what I wanted to share was that over the last 200 years, the journey that we've taken through deaf culture not only the culture itself, but the experiences that we face, what we've fought to protect over the last 200 years, has really been a huge challenge to the community. And getting out that type of information from 200 years of history, condensing that down, I'm really excited to be able to have a platform to share that history and parts of the culture as well.
Now if you're taking on 200 years of deaf culture history in the United States, that's a really big topic. How do you get that down to 15 to 16 minutes?
Exactly. That's been a huge challenge for us. But I think the exciting part of it is to be able to share the knowledge and raise awareness in those audience listeners or those who will be watching live for the TEDx event. We'll be talking about culture, and it's very similar to other cultural groups in that people may not know much about deaf culture, but they may know more about Hispanic community or the Black community, the Asian communities. And so we have a lot of similarities in deaf culture with a lot of the oppression we've faced, having to protect our own traditions and our own cultural norms, and that's from an insider's perspective.
Yeah. When I think of deaf culture, I think of communities of deaf culture, places like Gallaudet. In a place like Tulsa, is there a strongly defined deaf culture?
There really is, but it's more of it's a commonality that we have nationwide. Being deaf and being much like anywhere you live, it's not based on geography, but there are cognitive, there are normative, and there are materialistic functions of culture that we have similarities between cultures, but yet we have differences. We have different values, but some of them are the same. Maybe we have the same financial values, but it's what people don't see in our everyday lives is what I'm outlining. It's not really the top of the iceberg, is the tip of the iceberg is what you see, but all those nuances that are hidden, those deep roots of culture, especially deaf culture or any other culture, is what I'm hoping to outline.
Give us a sense of what some of those hidden nuances are.
For example, we can be really blunt. I mean, if you see someone or somebody comes up to you and they've gained a lot of weight, we'll say, "What happened to you? Man, you've gotten fat." it's just a cultural norm to be that blunt. And whereas hearing culture will say, "Oh, you look good." And just those specific details as well.
Why is that?
Because we value information, the sharing of information. And we're a very visual people. I mean, we rely on visual information for sharing, and that's also part of our cultural norms. I mean, whereas you can hear information around you all day, hearing is not a top priority for the deaf community, obviously, but sharing our cultural values without being able to hear, events on the radio or that sort of information, we're relying on each other as community members to share and spread that knowledge.
Yeah, and when you think of even just media, even in a visual media like television, a lot of subtextual information is conveyed through the audio that may or may not be able to be conveyed without hearing the message.
Exactly. And that's so true. I mean, we rely on captioning for everything that's on television. And so the visual information that we can fill in above the captioning is helpful. It's another level. The Americans with Disabilities Act, mandates that all information, all media be captioned. And so as a community, We have that for information, but we should be able to be included in most everything that happens in hearing culture.
Yeah. Well, you just have to watch closed captioning in a lot of television to know there's still a lot of messages that aren't conveyed through the captioning.
I agree. And the funny part is when I watch information with captioning, if I notice a hearing friend or someone who's watching the captions and listening at the same time, their face just kind of scrunches up. And I look over and say, "Well, what's wrong?" And they said, "The captioning is all wrong. It's not following the speech at all. That's just not right."
Right, right. And it's a matter of interpreting every day.
It is. It really is. Because really, we live based on language. Our lives are based on what we can get language-wise. And when we use American Sign Language, English is not our first language. So when the captions are in English, we're automatically interpreting for ourselves back into our native language of our native sign language. And so for most people, that's very common because English is not the first language. But the important part for us is the information that we have both English and sign language, access to both.
Is there that great a switchover from interpreting English to American Sign Language?
Sign language has its own grammatical rules. It's not at all the same as English. The problem with deaf infants, when parents have a deaf baby, that they assume that they need to do speech therapy and basically increase the abilities in English. Whereas research is showing that over the years, being able to learn sign language first as a first language is better. You can always learn to read lips and do speech therapy later. But having that basis, that foundation in that initial language should be our priority. But what we found, most deaf people rely on their vision, and so it's been a challenge for hearing parents to understand the critical nature of language development for deaf infants.
My guest today is Glenna Cooper. She is the chair for ASL, English as a Second Language and World Language at TCC. She'll be a TEDx speaker this Saturday. My other guest is Anita Collier, the dean and chair of TCC Center for Creativity, as TCC presents a TEDx Tulsa CC event Saturday at 5. Now, the event is sold out, but there'll be a watch party at the Fly Loft. It'll also be simulcast on the web. And Glenna, if I can ask, you mentioned the American with Disabilities Act. I would think if you're trying to talk about protecting and interpreting deaf culture, this is a landmark moment in American history. How does this change deaf culture in America?
Since the passage of the ADA, the Americans with Disabilities Act, that's really flung the door wide open for us. I mean, job access, language access, and so that law has really been instrumental. But the unfortunate part is that we rely on federal and state laws to make everything accessible for us. And that has been just the attitudes based on people with disabilities, the lack of acceptance from the hearing majority. That it's really, we see how divided we are as a nation. And I hope that, you know, the ADA would open the door to have better access, more equal access for those people with disabilities.
Is it a matter of the hearing community thinking of accessibility as just another hurdle within the business community or within a workplace that they wouldn't have to provide otherwise?
Exactly. That's very common experience that we face almost on a daily basis, asking for access. And I think part of it's the attitudes that people hold and don't realize that they can make their services or their buildings universal design. I mean, meaning that they can be accessible for anyone, any person with disabilities. And it's not only for people with disabilities. I mean, people with strollers are able to use the ramps.
Right.
I mean, it's basic access. Universal design opens it up for all peoples, not just peoples with disabilities. And so it's something that's open to anyone.
I mean, you see a lot of accommodations being made in a variety of disabilities. Is being able to hear a disability that sometimes is overlooked by designers and architects?
It is. I think the important part for responsibilities to include people with disabilities in their design on their building team. As they're designing something, we know what we need, and to get our input would be vital. And often enough, we see design that's fully designed without our input, but people aren't standing in our shoes. You know, we're giving more feedback after the fact. I would encourage people to hire people with disabilities both to help them with the universal design and to provide a perspective. It's the key to success for access for everyone.
Yeah. Well, you're giving us a sense of what you're going to be talking about on Saturday. What was the process of preparing the TED talk like?
At first, the process started about a year ago. And I thought, well, I should be involved. And then I was on the fence about it. And it was making me nervous, thinking about speaking in front of an audience. As the year progressed as I really felt excited about the opportunity because it gives us an opportunity to increase awareness about deaf culture and our language. And I realized I've got to go for this. It's a great thing to have an audience, and everyone can learn not only about our culture but about different cultures. We learn from each other, and that really opens our minds to important information and opportunity that you may not see or hear in daily life.
Now, I guess Anina recruited you, correct?
Yes, she did.
I'm sure a lot of people will be looking forward to seeing your talk, and because it's just, if people could see in the studio, it's a really interesting because we have a team of people that are bringing your comments to us.
Absolutely, and the exciting part is really providing sign language interpreters at the Fly Loft as well for the watch party. So there'll be deaf people in attendance who will be watching the simulcast and be able to be a part of all the speakers and have access to that. So we wanted to make sure that everyone attending had access.
You bring up a very good point, if I may. The idea of having interpreters at public events. Some places will occasionally have it. If you have a certain event, maybe one of those events will have an interpreter. How important is having interpreters at public gatherings?
It's definitely not even, there's not even a question about it. I mean, if we want everyone to be involved in the event, then that's access through interpreters, through ramps, you know, with Braille for people who are visually impaired. I mean, our goal is that the Tulsa community, I mean, and they've been great and a great example to model and provide access for all of the students at even TCC. We have a variety of students with a variety of disabilities, and access for all in classroom has been a huge priority. And that way, not only for the school, but for businesses and organizations locally as well.
In general, though, is it still a detriment to full participation in the culture?
We still experience some challenges periodically. I mean, businesses mm-hmm. still have the old attitudes, and so we have to gather our information, our data, and be convincing. And until they understand, it requires a lot of education on our part.
Yeah. My guest today, Glenna Cooper, chair for ASL and English as a Second Language, as well as World Language at TCC, and she'll be a TEDx speaker this Saturday at the Center for Creativity. My other guest, Anina Collier, is the dean and chair of TCC's Center for Creativity. We got a sense of one speaker here, mm-hmm. Anina, and you have this whole roster of folks, really a wide variety. Can you maybe talk about some of the things that we'll be hearing?
Oh, sure. And, you know, to piggyback off of something Glenna was saying, one of the challenges we've had with all of our speakers is that the idea of a TED Talk isn't just to educate people, but to share a new idea. And so with Glenna's talk, while sadly a lot of people don't know the history that she's sharing or some of the aspects of culture that she's sharing, that wasn't enough. She had to also share something new to really be worthy of that TED platform. And in her case, she, and I welcome you to jump in here, Glenna, is talking more about cutting edge interpretation between deaf and hearing, and how, Glenna, you'll explain this much better than I will.
Sure. We actually have started using deaf interpreters as sign language interpreters alongside a hearing interpreter. And because we're not getting the true roots of and the cultural nuances of our language back and forth in the translation. So over the years, many hearing interpreters have really struggled with implementing that cultural bit with their interpretation to English.
You're talking about any language. You if you were grown up with a language, you have the nuance, you have all of the idiomatic ways in which you might say something. It might not necessarily mean mm-hmm, that. Mm-hmm. And is that a divide that is sort of hard to go back and forth between?
It is, and often enough what we see is we sign slower, or we have to think how to express ourselves in English because we're interpreting in our own minds into English. We can't be as expressive, but with a deaf interpreter paired with a hearing interpreter, we can give our thoughts directly to a deaf interpreter who will change it into a different form of sign language to a hearing interpreter who will speak it into English. And that team will lessen any misunderstandings, will give a greater depth to meeting. And so that teaming we're starting to see more and more of that nationwide with two interpreters working together.
Are we seeing this teaming today? in the studio? Because we have two interpreters. No?
Not today. We only actually have one certified deaf interpreter in the whole state of Oklahoma currently.
Oh, wow.
And I'm one of a few who are trying to pass a written exam, waiting for the performance exam to be offered. So you will in the future be seeing more certified deaf interpreters in court and medical situations through Oklahoma. Expect to see that. On the East and West Coast, they're already very prevalent. I think there are over 300 deaf interpreters already certified on both coasts.
I can remember when all of a sudden ASL became a language that met college requirements in higher education. Was that an important milestone? Because virtually any student that goes through higher education that has a language requirement can learn ASL for credit.
True. And here in Oklahoma, there is a state law on the books currently that recognizes sign language as a credit course in high school and college both. So we already are a little ahead of the game nationwide. There were several states that haven't been able to pass that yet. But our American Sign Language program at Tulsa Community College has doubled the enrollment size in the last few years because of American Sign Language being recognized as a critical part of language and an accredited language. The deaf community, it's amazing how the enrollment has just blossomed for Tulsa Community College. And interpreting programs also have grown over the state. And many people have been really motivated to learn because they see more interpreters out in the public schools or in hospitals or courtrooms. And the job for an interpreter is different every day. It's not something that you just go to work 8 to 5. I mean, it's not, you know, like an office job at all. It's a lot of variety. And I think the younger generation likes the challenge of something different every day in their workplace. And I think that interpreting really is one of the highest interest-based jobs, and especially with the specialized, you know, medical settings or courtroom settings that it offers.
And it's also conversing all day long, and it's almost like lifelong learning, too.
Exactly. It is. Interpreters tell me all the time they learn something new every day just being out in the community interpreting on the job. I mean, they could be in the morning at a family funeral. They could be – the next job would be a business meeting. Could it be a parent-teacher meeting in the afternoon, and they could be in taping for a radio program that evening. I mean, it could be – it's a fun job.
Yeah. Now, Nina, some of the other speakers, can you tell us about a few of the other speakers that are going to be here? I know you have Drew Diamond talking about ending racially biased policing. We're talking about the Tandy supercomputer and some really interesting things that I didn't know about how Tulsa increased young voter turnout by 50%.
Yeah, you know, and that's the neat thing about these TEDx talks is that they can highlight what's going on in your community and bring that to across the country and the world through these simulcasts. And you specifically mentioned Tulsa's increase in voter turnout. Daniel Regan is presenting that talk, and he's not only telling how Tulsa did it, but how that can be replicated in other communities. Nash McQuarters is going to be giving a talk on how tuition-free college changes a community. Tulsa Community College, as I'm sure you're aware, has the Tulsa Achieves program. And so he's going to be highlighting that program and then talking about how that can benefit communities all over the United States. And so, like I mentioned before, we not only want to bring new ideas to the forefront, but new ideas that can benefit the wider community.
Well, since I have two TCC professors here, I'll ask you, how has that tuition-free aspect of TCC transformed TCC in the community, and from your viewpoints?
Well, it's astounding because the number of degree holders in Tulsa County since Tulsa Achieves has started has increased by several percentage points. And the average median income of people in Tulsa County has also increased because better educated community, better incomes, and then more giving back to the community as well. There's been studies that show that people who graduate from Tulsa Achieves are more likely to stay in Tulsa and give back to that community. So it's really emerged as a national model for higher education.
Yeah, and Glenna, for you, have you seen it through the programs you work in where the Tulsa Achieves made a difference?
Absolutely. We go out to high schools, high school programs present and recruit as a, you know, TCC as a general program, and there we see a lot more hope for those high school students who really did want to go to college, but many of them didn't have the finances or couldn't afford, couldn't see their way there financially or generationally. And we're realizing that now they have a hope for a college degree, and TCC is able to provide that. And many of them even don't end their careers at TCC. They go on to matriculate to four-year universities, become highly successful in their jobs and skill sectors, and making their lives even better. And they're breaking the poverty cycle, and for many of them, for the first time. And it's great to see the glow and the hope in their eyes. Mm-hmm. You know, in the high school, they'll come up and say, are you serious about what are you serious that I can really go to college? I live way out in the country. Mm-hmm. You know, I've never really thought about it, but it's a glimmer of hope for them and a brighter future.
Go ahead.
When you remove the financial barrier, students are able to better focus on school, and they're more successful once they get there as well.
I was just thinking, mm-hmm. For households with a disability, oftentimes there are economic disparities, and yes. I would think that program has really been a boon to students with a disability because they come from economically disadvantaged household just because of everything that's going on.
It has, and it's nice. The nice thing about it is they know they can come to TCC without having to worry about educational barriers. You know, we provide accommodations on every campus. Whoever needs the accommodation, it's already in place. And we have wonderful programs. We have counseling. We have services. We have captioning. We have interpreters, tutoring assistants. I mean, all the skills, anything that can fill a skills gap is already in place.
And we have support for non-traditional students, for veterans, right. for people that have all kinds of considerations. So we really are trying to democratize higher ed.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like it's going to be a really great program, some really thought-provoking topics. There'll be some that will be fun. I know you have mm-hmm. a Woody Guthrie scholar, and you mentioned the art and the music aspect of this.
Yeah. Well, and another speaker who's hilarious. Her name is Kim Doner, and she's a New York Times bestselling author. And she is going to be live sketching during her TEDx talk. And the talk is about how our brains are hardwired by evolution to recognize certain characteristics in a cartoon. And she's so engaging and fun. We also do have John Calvin Abney, a Tulsa-based singer-songwriter, is our featured musical guest. And after he performs at the TEDx event at the Center for Creativity, he's headed over to the Flyloft Watch Party to perform. Oh. So people there will get to hear him as well. And then we have an art exhibition that's based on the theme of subliminal that'll be up at the Center for Creativity throughout the month of May, and that's free and open to the public as well.
Yeah. And then you have a choral premiere. By Noam Fingal.
That's right. We're so excited about that. So I approached Noam about a year ago with a vision for how this piece might work. And I don't want to talk too much about it because it's a surprise. And he totally got it. He did a great job at translating my idea into his work. And the TCC Concert Choir will present that. And that'll be part of the live stream as well. It's a world premiere.
All right. So again, all the spaces are filled at the Center for Creativity, but people can go to the Flyloft mm-hmm. to watch the TEDx, or just watch at home or via smartphone or
mm-hmm.
simulcast on the web.
Internet. That's yeah. right.
All right. Well, we wish you great success with the event tomorrow. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Anita Collier is the Dean and Chair of TCC Center for Creativity. Glenna Cooper is the Chair for ASL, English as a Second Language and World Language at TCC, and a TEDx speaker on Our Journey to Protect and Interpret Deaf Culture. TEDx Tulsa CC takes place Saturday at 5. Now, the event is sold out, but there will be a watch party at the Fly Loft on North Boston, and it will be simulcast on the web at TEDxTulsaCC.com. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced by Scott Gregory. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.